ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. I hope that all of you can hear me all right tonight. I'm on a new headset. Let's just say I'm not real good about keeping my headsets from breaking. So the tried and true headset that I've used for a while now, and have even when I've broken them, went out and bought another, apparently aren't available for sale anymore. And as a result, we're trying something new here, and hopefully it's okay. I hope it comes through loud and clear, and I guess we'll find out. Co-host Dave won't be joining us tonight. Co-host Dave is taking the day off, and so I invite you to call. The number here is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. And you can listen to the show by calling that number as well. And that's a good thing to know when Blog Talk messes up, because we know that never happened like last week. In theory, this week, it should work. 858-683-1326. If you want to chime in, be sure to press that one key. Hang on, as our new format is that I'd go through my stuff first for the first half an hour, and then we talk about it if people are so inclined. Got a lot queued up here. It's not actually a lot. I shouldn't say a lot. It's complex topics that we have lined up tonight. And so to get started, let's go with the lighter-hearted stuff to begin. As usual, the political rhetoric generator generated some random political rhetoric for us. And tonight's randomly generated political rhetoric is, my opponent is taking donations from communists, overpaid CEOs, and smelly hippies. Always like the random generator. Also, our random spurious correlation for tonight, these are things that correlate, but generally probably aren't causal, and I don't think this one is. The number of lawyers in Kentucky correlates with the amount of money spent on pets nationwide. And it's a very strange little line there. It correlates pretty darn strongly. I really don't think that the number of lawyers causes people to spend money on pets or vice versa. But, you know, whatever. And that's our spurious correlation for tonight. And for those that haven't listened for the past few weeks, first of all, shame on you. But more importantly, the spurious correlations, we do this to show that correlation is not causation. And that's that. Congratulations to Germany for winning the World Cup, and congratulations to the rest of us. We don't have to watch soccer anymore. I like soccer. I like to play soccer. I played soccer growing up. I cannot stand watching soccer on television. Different scenario or different reasons, I should say, but other sports as well, like hockey, right? I love to watch hockey, but not on TV. In person, it's great. Not on TV. Actually, the same thing with NASCAR style racing. In person, if you've never been to a NASCAR race, man, I'll tell you, the energy, the power, the roar of the crowd, everything is so amazing in person. But it is so awful on TV. I don't know. Of course, then again, when it's on TV, I usually make it to about lap 5. I fall asleep, climb along the way towards the end of the race, which I guess is good for napping, but not really good for entertainment. But congratulations to Germany for putting us out of our misery and ending the World Cup and coming out on top. I don't know if you guys have been following some of the stuff with the big game hunting stuff in Africa. I don't really quite understand or get it. I'm not a big hunter. But there's animal rights groups and different people making a big flap over going and doing big game hunting. And the last two instances of it actually have been blonde teenage girls, for whatever reason, doing the big game hunting in Africa. I think the girl's name was Kendall Jones. She's some person, I don't even know her whole story, nor do I care. And then there's another one here that just came up. Some Belgian girl who got some sort of modeling contract. Her contract now canceled because she had a picture of her after shooting some animal in Africa. And I guess the thing for me is that if this is being done legally, country to protect their own stuff generally, why do we care what Africa does or does not allow? Why are we butting into their business? If Africa allows people to go on these big game hunts, first of all, they're making big money from it. So they have a financial incentive to ensure that the next hunt will be there. So they do have the financial incentive to ensure that continue to reproduce and continue to be available in a large enough number to continue to exist. And you know, because the big thing everybody's worried about here, at least the way they make it sound, is, oh my gosh, you're hunting these animals to extinction. I don't think they are. And based on the research I've done, that's not the case. This is really just kind of silly. I've been hunting before. I almost got shot hunting before. I don't hunt anymore. but I don't care if people hunt, if they're hunting responsibly. And certainly, if you're paying big bucks to a guide and doing it legally and getting the licenses or whatever's required, you're going to do it right. You're not going to end up, you know, doing something that you shouldn't. And I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get why everybody cares, I think, is really my big problem. Whatever. Anyway, meanwhile, you know, we've got the big flap over big game hunting and you know, the big excitement around the World Cup and all these. Meanwhile, polls still show that direction of the country, 63% of Americans believe the country is going the wrong way, and only about 26-27% think it's going the right way. So, you know, while we're distracted by sillinesses, the country's still going badly. Obama's approval rating is continuing to go down with 54.1% disapproval and only 41% approval. And so things are getting bad out there. They've been bad. But people aren't seeing solutions. But I think that it's an accurate reflection. Things are still getting worse. I don't see things getting any better. And there's been a lot of people who have been just hanging on, hoping that things bounce back. I don't think they've bounced back. I don't know that they've directly gotten worse. But I do think that we're in a scenario where the people who have been clinging on and slowly losing and slowly bleeding off aren't able to recover. And so things still continue to get worse for them because things haven't leveled off. I'll tell you, it's really interesting. I don't know. Everyone I talk to, everyone's really just angry. Just angry. And you know, here in Kentucky, about the top 10 worst counties to live in, 6 of them are in Kentucky. And that's pretty bad, right? I mean, we certainly don't want to be proud of the fact that we have 6 of the worst counties to live in the nation in Kentucky. You've got, let's see here. I can't hardly read those. They've blurred the names of the counties for no apparent reason. Clay County, Breathitt, Jackson, Lee, Leslie, and McGoffin. Clay County has only 7.4% of the population has a bachelor degree. Unemployment at 12.7%. Disability rate is at 11.7%. And life expectancy is 6 years shorter than average. And I'll tell you, there's, you know, a lot of problems. Clay County had is, well, Clay County, specifically in this article, they're talking about how basically the war on coal has really adversely harmed Clay County in a significant fashion. Only 54 people in Clay County are now employed in the coal mining industry, which is way off of its peak in 1980. So, perhaps it shouldn't be a big surprise to me that a lot of people I talked to have been talking about moving somewhere else. Now, you know, in the job that I do, I can pretty much live anywhere. And because of that, I like being in Kentucky. Born and raised here, my family's here, I have strong ties to leaving the area, searching for new jobs or new opportunities, because quite frankly, we don't have them. And it's a little bit worrisome. I don't really know that our legislature even wants to look at this. I often think that they cover their eyes, put their fingers in their ears, and shout la 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 when somebody starts saying, hey, there's a problem. The question is, what do you do about it? You know, they're planning on expanding the Mountain Parkway right now. The Mountain Parkway runs over into some of these counties, or into eastern Kentucky anyway. And I somewhat jokingly said, maybe they, need to extend the highway, make it three lanes going out and only one lane going in. And, it's kind of inappropriate to say, I don't want to bash eastern Kentucky. You know, oftentimes people are the product of their environment. I think that there's a failing on many levels. I think it's a complicated issue. I don't think it's something you can just go, oh, well, it's just because it's Eastern. I think that there's a lot of complicating factors. You've got corrupt governments in eastern Kentucky. Every couple of years, we hear about some judge or exec or some sheriff or both getting busted by the feds and sent to prison. Actually, it's about time for that to happen again, I think. It's a tough terrain to traverse. Right, we've got, to some extent, those people that live in that area are, just as I am of my area, proud to be from there. They enjoy the culture that they've grown up in. They enjoy the area that they've grown up in, and they want to preserve that. They want to keep living that way, and certainly I cannot fault them for that. But I do see that things are going to have to change. Our Medicare expansion, or Medicaid expansion, is unsustainable. Our unemployment in those counties, in case you haven't noticed, they're in deep trouble too. Something's got to change. And I don't want to say I have the answers, but I have some ideas. I think industrial hemp is one of those ideas. I think that could be beneficial. I'd like to see the EPA scale back on some of their regulations that they're implementing at breakneck speed, relatively speaking, and kind of let these folks having, thousands of unemployed people all of a sudden. There's got to be some answers, and I don't think there's a silver bullet answer. Most of our troubles, especially on the economic side, there's no easy economic silver bullet, right? It's complicated. It's the little this and that. It's the nickel and diming, if you will, of our economic liberty that has led to the problems that we have today. And so, don't know that there's a silver bullet answer. I do think that there are some answers out there and that there's things that are bigger than others, things that would help more than other things. But I think that you probably need to start at whatever's the easiest to accomplish, what's the easiest to fix. And generally, I think those fixes are going to be undoing things that have been done to them. And at the end of the day, if the area is just not economically sustainable. Well, that's a problem that'll fix itself too, because people will move to where the jobs are. People will move to where they can thrive or choose not to, one or the other. They can do either one. But I don't see continuing down the route that we're on in any way, shape, or form helping Eastern Kentucky. Because the path we're on, have been on, has, and for that matter, as a result, because they are part of our state, it's harmful to all of us. It doesn't matter. Louisville, Lexington, Western Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, Southern Kentucky, it doesn't matter. Because if one part of the state is economically lagging or bleeding in some cases, it's going to drag the rest of the state down with it. You know, it's interesting here in Northern Kentucky, the people always used to blame Lexington and Louisville. They'd say, oh, they're taking all of our tax money and they're putting it in Lexington and Louisville. And then you hear the same things, but, you know, with the cities changed out of Louisville and Lexington. Louisville, oh, Northern Kentucky and Lexington get all the money back. Lexington, oh, it's Northern Kentucky and Louisville get all the money back. Guys, I don't think the money's going anywhere. Based on what I see, all three counties or all three regions are not getting the money back. And Western Kentucky, based on what I can tell, generally doesn't get that either. Right? So I don't think that it's an issue of, I don't see a way to fix it. And because we are the same state, we have a vested interest in seeing it fixed. It would be really nice to be able to use the money that we're paying the state for other things. Be nice to see something closer to 100% return of the tax money to the areas where it came from. That'd be nice. It's interesting, you know, they're getting ready to do this expansion of the Mountain Parkway. I forget the figure, but it's a pretty beefy dollar figure. And every time I see these types of projects, I go, well, that's, you know, whatever percent of a bridge for Northern Kentucky or for Louisville that could have avoided tolls. I think it's something we're going to have to, I think it's something we're going to have to address. And it's something that's going to have to be talked about. When you have 6 of the 10 worst counties in the country in your state, that's a problem. That's a really big problem. Now, the upside of it is because the economy is so bad and because we do have some of the worst economic conditions in the country within our borders, we actually end up having the lowest cost of living in the entire country as well, which is interesting. And so we are the cheapest city, or not city, but state to live in. But I don't know if that's something to be proud about when it's because the economy is not so good. Now, certainly, and I mentioned this before, you know, we have a proud tradition in this state, a number of things that we are known for. We have beautiful scenery. We have great people. There are lots of good things about Kentucky, no doubt about it. It's not anything that we are doing as individuals. I really believe the issue has more to do with our leaders, with the spending. You could say that some of it is the wrong focus on education. We need to do a better job with education. Certainly, that would help. Of course, the leaders just lament that anybody who actually graduates from college here in Kentucky ends up going somewhere else. That does happen a lot. Opportunities here. So we have a lot of things that we need to take care of as a state. And you know, as much as people like to focus on federal issues, as much as people like to focus on what the president's doing or Congress is doing or the Senate is doing, the immigration thing or any of that stuff, we're going to get into the immigration thing here in a bit. The reality is we've got problems here at home. We have issues that we need to resolve right here at home. And that's really the key thing that I think we need to be focused on more than anything at this point, is what can we do? Not by subsidizing, mind you, but what can we do to allow Kentucky to succeed? I believe we have the people, we have the skills, we have the natural resources to succeed. But things are getting in our way, namely government regulators typically, that are preventing us from succeeding. So that's what we need to be asking about. Can we enable our fellow Kentuckians to succeed? To allow them to succeed, just not stop them anymore. So switching gears completely. Oh my gosh. The New Hampshire poll if the primary was held today, which Republican would you choose for president? If you put the people who are pretty much assumed to be running together, Chris Christie narrowly leads out. But if you put Mitt Romney in the mix, all of a sudden Mitt Romney wins by a landslide. It's pretty interesting. 46% of New Hampshire Republicans would vote for Romney over some other group of folks. But another 36% say no. And he did get the list. He not only got the list of the most favorite candidate, he also was the top of the most unfavorite candidate. And that can happen because of the sillinesses of math when you take Romney out of the mix. 19% for Chris Christie. Now, that could be geography-based, right? Christie is not too far from New Hampshire. He's a New England guy. But, man, Republicans. Really? I mean, really? Romney again? That's your plan? Really? That would be insane and suicidal, man. You know, whatever, but didn't learn the first time. Going to try it again? I don't think Romney will run again, so I don't think it matters anyway. But you guys over in the Republican Party have got to get your stuff together. You got to get your stuff straight. Because, wow, that's dumb. All right, so let's see where we're at on time. 7:25. All right, I'm going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we will take your calls. In between your calls, we'll be talking about immigration because this is a very complex issue. I don't want to cut it in the middle, and I don't want to do it a disservice by not getting all the way through it. So we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be talking immigration, and we'll be taking your calls. You can call here again. The number is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. And since the break was messed up last week, and I think it's going to work this week, we're going to go with the alternate break music. And when we return, immigration and your calls. So call in now, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. Erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Watching the people that buy the wire, caught up compacted to capture flame, ready to discharge the torn desire. Tempted by faith and the mile unknown, the system beats off the throne. One man's rebellion, one man alone, tangled up in the wrong telephone. Fly through the fast lane, run from the kill.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
There we go. And we're back, folks. Sorry about that. You are listening to Liberty on Bright on the My View Matters radio network. And to call in, the number here is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. Oh, immigration. You know, this has actually been on deck in show prep material for a while. It's a complicated issue. and with co-host Dave not here, I figured today was a good day to try to start tackling. I don't even know if a half hour is even enough. I had told myself I was going to wait until I had a full hour to do immigration because it's complicated. Extremely complicated. So, immigration. Right now, we're dealing with a quote-unquote crisis. Labeled as crisis, so everyone knows it as a crisis. We have about 50,000-ish, almost 60,000-ish children. And understand children is under 18 years of age. Who have basically used a provision, 1,000 law, that was re-upped in 2008. That essentially allows people to declare political refugee status. And immigration reform for the last three decades has been extremely complex. And there's a lot of people who like to throw around bumper sticker slogans. Build a wall. Build a wall. You hear that all the time. Build a wall. Unfortunately, number two that I hear all the time is shoot them at the border, which that's not really. The point, I guess, is that there is no, again, there's no quick fix. There is no silver bullet. It's a complicated issue. It's been complicated by government policies for many decades, not even just the last three. But for many, many decades that we won Mexico in the Mexican-American War, right? We defeated them and gained Texas and a good portion of the Southwest. That's where our story really began. And you go forward. You know, in the Old West, there was a lot of border crossing that didn't matter. Nobody cared, right? I mean, technically the authorities, but no one really controlled the Old West, per se. And so there was plenty of people, there were a lot of people that went back and forth. Whatever. Nobody cared. You had, a lot of immigration policies then that were changing based on people immigrating from Europe and from Asia, for that matter. And different policies were put in different places ostensibly for different reasons. But in the end, they were all political. So, you know, there was the time when people were banned from immigrating from Ireland. And despite the fact that there was a famine in Ireland, despite the fact that things were destitute, we turned them away. Times when we were turning Jews back to Nazi Germany. That wasn't cool at all, in retrospect. There's always a political reason behind laws. It would be nice to think that laws were set up in an altruistic form that were really just about benefiting people. The reality is that when you create a law, you are creating control. And when there's control involved, there's power. And when there's power, there's corruption. And so, when politicians create policies to block certain people, you'll even hear it. Today's crisis. You'll hear people say, well, we can't take these people because we need jobs. They're taking jobs. Really? I mean, what jobs are they taking? studio soundboard. Play that real fun.
They took our job! They took our job!
Anyway, the reality is they're not taking. I hate that this is so politicized. But look at the jobs that they actually get. They are not jobs that Americans will take because Americans can sit on their lazy butt and get welfare instead, or unemployment, or some combination therein, food stamps, whatever. And the reality is that they are doing jobs that no one else will do. Somebody says they're doing the jobs that Americans won't do. What they mean to say is they're doing the job that Americans won't do at that salary. Because certainly if you pay more, somebody will step up eventually and go, oh, I'll do it for that. So there is a legitimate concern about keeping wages low. But at the same time, if you're doing something to prevent wages from going lower, you're increasing costs. Costs are passed on to consumers. So, for instance, you know, folks, I don't know about where you're at in Kentucky, but where I'm at in Kentucky, it's been the dirty little secret for 30 years. Most people picking fruit and vegetables at the farms are not legal residents of this country. And they work hard. And yeah, they send money home to Mexico. There's no doubt about it. Back to their home country. Which, you know, is another complaint that I hear. But they also make it possible. And you could say, well, we could put tariffs on the other stuff. Well, sure we could. We could put tariffs on other stuff. But all that's going to do is mean that there's less supply, more demand, and a higher cost. So we have to decide, what do we want? Now, personally, I'm all about letting the free market settle it all. I think that immigration, from an economic standpoint, solves itself. Over time, mind you. But that 50,000 people came here, maybe it's 60,000 now, in the past year, in a country of 300 million people, you're talking about a 0.2% increase in the number of people. 0.2%. Not that significant at all. And I really don't worry about the market side of things. It'll sort itself out. I promise it'll sort itself out. And don't forget that people who come here, they have to consume too. They eat, they sleep. They have to have clothes at a minimum. And at the same time, they like the same things you do and I do. They like to have new stuff. They like to have nice stuff. They can't afford necessarily the nice stuff that you and I can afford. But they buy stuff. Discretionary income does exist. And so, on the economic side, I'm really honestly not that worried about it. I know there's all the different opinions all the way around, but protectionism is not a principle of liberty. It is not a principle. Economic protectionism is not a principle of liberty or of free market. Barriers to trade only causes supply problems, which in turn cause price problems. So then you can move over to the social side of things. And perhaps the number one complaint is the illness and the sicknesses that are coming with these folks. And quite honestly, I agree. If you have some sort of contagious disease, we don't want you here. And I know that really sucks on an individual level. And there may be some free market solution to this. I actually think there's a charity or a market-based solution where charitable organizations could come together and buy large swaths of antibiotics and vaccines and actually help quarantine and cure these folks before they enter the country or whatever, even if they go home, whatever the reason. In theory, charitable organizations are supposed to handle that type of thing. It is funny that we've moved so far away from a time when charitable organizations were actually used to, you know, do charity for people, that we expect that government's going to do it. We expect the government's going to have to pay for it, or it becomes a politicized issue rather than letting people freely give money to charities who do it or don't, whatever. And that's where the social market comes in, a social marketplace where equilibrium will occur. There's also the side of it, and I've heard this before, and I always kind of laugh at it. You know, they're changing our society. Yeah. I mean, the whole concept of America as a melting pot was that you had people of different cultures who came together here, and we kept the good stuff from those cultures. I'm up here in Northern Kentucky. I grew up in an area that's heavily former German Catholic, which is different from most of the rest of the state. But as a result, we have Oktoberfest. We have other festivals as well, right? We have Mayfest, spelled M-A-I Fest. We have foods that are unique to the area, things that came from Germany, things that were created by the German immigrants once they already got here. A great example of that is something called Goetta, spelled G-O-E-T-T-A. If you haven't had Goetta, it's basically kind of a breakfast hash thing. It's pork and oats, spices, whatever. And, of course, we have beer, which, you know, that's nice. Entertainingly, we even have things that invaded our language. When in Northern Kentucky, when you ask someone to repeat themselves, you don't necessarily say, what was that? Or, you know, can you, you know, say that again? We use the phrase, please. Ask it a question, please. And that comes from a shorthand from a German truncation of asking to repeat again, please. We use the word bitte. And as a result, you have people that say, please. And that's something that we just kind of expect or know up here, right? It's normal for us. It was interesting, when I first worked in market research, that was one of the things they had to train everybody on was, by the way, when you're talking to someone, don't ask the question, please. You have to ask, can you repeat that again, please? Or, I did not catch that, can you repeat that? Something to that extent. The point is that, and I should have mentioned too, before World War I, there were a dozen or better German-only language newspapers. And even after World War I, there were two German language only newspapers that survived until part of the way through World War II. We're no worse off for it. It didn't destroy the area. We're different, yeah, but not in a bad way. And that's okay. We took the cool stuff, right? We took good things, and over the course of time, melded that into our society. It's really, really not. And it really is truly the American experience, in my opinion. And this is the thing that bothers me the most about this. The irony of it all. The first immigrants, the first group of immigrants that came to America escaping persecution. They came escaping bad things portrayed persecuted by their government. That's the word I was looking for. They were trying to escape a bad situation so that they could be free. And they could be free through hard work and determination. And some of those people survived and some of them died just trying to get here. And it's not that much different from what these folks are doing south of the border. People who are trying to escape a really bad situation. And they want to come here because it's better than where they're at now. And I think it's kind of ironic that we're saying, nope, sorry, you know, we are reaping the benefits of our ancestors doing that, but you can't come here and do it yourself. There's probably nothing more American. Picking yourself up by the bootstraps out of the country you're in, the bad situation in your home country, leaving it all behind, taking the gamble, and coming to live and work peacefully, to make a better life for yourself. To learn, to meet people of other cultures, to work with those people, to share the good things about your culture with others and vice versa, a few generations, the melting process is complete. But it's politics. It's politics that get in the way of this. There's people who, oh my gosh, they're going to come here and all they're going to vote is Democrat. Well, maybe if, you know, a whole bunch of Republicans are really jerky towards those folks, yeah, they probably will come here and vote Democrat because the Republicans are being big jerks. But if we, the real problem is our immigration policy is not sane. A sane immigration policy would be three things. Number one, do you have a disease or other illness that can be spread that we don't want here? The answer is yes, then please go home. Or don't come in here with that, please. Thank you. Number two is, are you a thief, a thug, or whatever? We don't want you. Right? Question three is, do you want to come here, work and live peacefully, and be a productive member of our society? If the answer is yes, if you've answered no to the first two questions and yes to the third, we want people who want to work. We want people who want to succeed, to honestly get ahead. Those are good people. And from an economic standpoint, there are benefits to having good, skilled, even not even necessarily skilled initially, but determined people to come here. If I was in their situation, I'd be doing the same thing, and I guarantee you would be too. If you lived in a terrible, terrible situation where you're faced with corrupt police, a corrupt government, which, by the way, is a result of some of our other policies, that's another story for another day. If you're faced with starvation, absolutely no hope, no job, whatever, do you really care about breaking the law? Go somewhere that you could possibly escape? If you're going for broke, do you really care that, well, America's immigration policy says that you can't come here because, right? But if you set up a sane immigration policy, one that says, okay, listen, you can come here, but you're not going to get welfare. We're not going to let you live on the dole. We're not even, I mean, and unfortunately, due to Supreme Court case ruling, the only way to do that is to basically create a green card system where they can't become a citizen for some period of time, or maybe not ever, can immediately get on the social welfare side of it. Because then you're encouraging bad behavior. You've created a market for people who cannot succeed to just come and leech off the system. And that's not good. We don't want to encourage people to become, as the Republicans put it the last time, takers. It's my belief that every single human being has the ability to be a, as they say, maker. There's a market for everything. There's a job for everyone. Only the most severely disabled among us are really the only ones who couldn't do some job. I used to look at, a friend of mine had a job in high school of putting books back on the shelf at a library. And at the time, minimum wage was pretty cheap and paid good money. I want to say it was more than double minimum wage. And I thought to myself, you know, this is not an intensive task. You basically have to be able to tell what number is bigger than another number but smaller than another number, right? The Dewey Decimal System shelving stuff on shelves. That's like the skill you gotta know. Seems like that should be a job that we should give to someone who's, you know, on unemployment or on welfare, not to somebody who's doesn't really need it, not to somebody who I don't want to be one who's controlling the market, but when it comes to government services, wouldn't it be smarter to have government try to get people off the dole first, to give preference to the people who are on welfare or food stamps or whatever for these jobs? Because it's money coming from the government to those people anyway. At least they're being productive now. And ideally, the people who were in those other jobs, yeah, they wouldn't have their cushy job making 2 to 2.5 times minimum wage to put books on a shelf. But I'm betting those people, and I know my friend was, way more competent, way more capable of doing other more complex work than that. There are ways to solve this. It's so complicated, though. It's political. It's everything. But we're just about out of time, and I want to caution one thing. And this is what I always tell people. Listen, you know, when someone says we need to build a wall, you need to be very, very careful about asking for a physical or virtual wall, because walls work both ways. We've heard the stories. Dave, co-host Dave last week, brought out the thing about the human casualty unit. During time, I found a story this week about how the Pentagon is basically trying to identify groups that might cause civil unrest in preparation for some sort of massive civil unrest event, like they had in the Middle East and a number of other places. What if that stuff happens? What if America falls apart, but the government is still strong because they print the money, they're still feeding troops, and because even though the troops don't want to, they have to be able to continue to feed their family, they're put in a bad spot. What if you want to leave? Ask the people of the former East Germany how keeping out the West worked with the Berlin Wall. The reality is, walls do work both ways, and what you're trying to keep out today may be your cage tomorrow. Something to consider. It's a scary thought, but it is something to consider. I know that there's much more. There's so much more on this issue to talk about, and you can get really deep in the weeds on it. But what I can tell you and what I hope you take away from this is that our policy is broken. It's broken. And even our broken policy isn't being enforced primarily because it can't be. It's a broken policy. It's like trying to sweep a floor with a broom that the broom part broke off, and now I've got the stick. We have to fix our policy. And the majority of Americans agree passing real immigration reform is important. It's been important for over a year. I got a story from July 11th, 2013. And there's a lot of people who try to determine, based on ideology, whether you have to fix the borders first or you know, what way. But we can move in the right direction if we demand it. And that's really the key. We, the people, have to demand real reform that will work And before we can do that, we need to actually talk about it. No more bumper sticker slogans. No more shoot them at the border. No more build a wall. Let's talk about what we really want here. Protectionism won't work. People will find a way around the wall anyway. So let's talk about real reforms, things that don't give bad incentives to break laws in the future, but actually fix. That's what we need, real solutions. Folks, that's the end of the show. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in again next week for another edition of Liberty Unbridled. Tune into the shows on the rest of the week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Thursday. We're here. Until next time, have a good week. You've listened to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network.